John Attar. This is my wife, Angela. We've been going to Lifegate Church since 1996. Angela's been going since 1986, and we got married in this church. And then we moved down from Canada. It's a great church. That's the reason why we moved down to from Canada. A great thing, a memorable moment, which I will never forget, seeing all the Canadians there come down and witness a new way of church and the way the church is run, or the way the church is developed as compared to the Catholic church. You know, it's a little different over there. It's nice and quiet here. You know, you can make a little noise and it's okay.
And not only just getting married in that church, that dedicate our daughter.
Yeah.
We are life group leaders and we are working with Life Kids. We serve wherever we're needed in Life Gate. I feel that Lifegate has contributed to my life in many aspects. The standards of teachings that are principles that I can live by. It's like the Dream Series. I took that series and I ran with it. Just like in 1992 when he did the sermon on the barren soul, that was my biggest thing, is I felt barren in my life and that I wasn't married. So I sang to that barren spot. That was the biggest area in my life that I've been able to fall back on. But also with having children, I sang to that barren spot, and we have Joseph. That's the biggest contribution that Lifegate's done to us.
And she would tell me about, and I've been to the church a few times, but you know, unless you're going on a regular basis and you see what goes on every Sunday and listen to those sermons and how they can change your life. Every sermon talks to you. It tells you something that makes you want to make a change. Even if you struggle with it, you have to make that change. If you don't, then you'll see what will happen and it won't be a positive. But if you go to that church and don't struggle with it, then you're really not paying attention because there's a lot of things that hit your heart.
I feel connected. I feel like I belong to Lifegate.
You know, the 8 years that we've been here, we've done more in the United States than I did in 3-4 years in Canada. Anytime I've made a change, I've always talked to Pastor Bill to make the right decision, not for myself, but also for the church, too. Like, every time I make a move, it's not just for me. It's for the church, too. They say, what do you think of this? And get your opinion. And it means a lot to me. You know, because we're tied to this body, we have this beautiful baby. Just by being in the praise of worship, she lifts her hands up every once in a while.
You know, even with the praise and worship with Josie, that's why when she hears those songs and when she hears you preaching, she knows that, she recognizes that, and she gets excited when we pull in the parking lot. It's funny to see her realize that that's where we're at. She gets excited. 1988, when we started at Lifegate. And this is very emotional. I've attended a lot of churches, and I never got into a youth group like we have at Lifegate. Every Sunday we would get together. We would spend Sunday at church together, Sunday afternoons together, go to church Sunday night, spend Sunday nights together. And that was that bond and relationship. And I know today, if I call any more of those 7 people, they would do anything for me. They would lay their lives down for me. And that's the biggest thing that I hold dear to my heart, is the relationships that I've built with Lifegate. And that's why I strongly, strongly want our life group to grow, is so that people can connect to that relationship and know that there are people who will lay down their lives for you.
I love my church because you know, with all the things that go on in life, you know, you've got your job, you've got crisis here, crisis there. Every Sunday when you go there and you listen properly and you pay attention, it just gives you that opportunity to say, hey, it's not that bad. You know, just follow the regimens of what's being said and you're going to make it through okay. If you follow what's going on there, you're going to have a great life. That's why I love going to the Lifegate Church.
And I love my church because I have something to believe in. I have something to hope for. My life's going great because of the principles that I'm applying. And I love my church because of the relationships. We have Josie here with us, and we would like to tell you
I love my church.
I love my church. I really, really do. I love my church because I get to come and I get to worship with you. I get to see you. I look forward to seeing you every week. My whole week is evolving around this particular moment. I love seeing you. I love singing with you and praising and hugging you and praying for you and with you and ministering to you. I love it. I've always had a passion for the church, always. Even before I was a pastor, before LifeGate was ever conceived in my head, I had a passion for church, and I guess I'll always have. I'll die loving the church. I had an interesting time this week. I was here. A lady from a local hardware store where we get just about everything that we use here, lumber, paint, whatever, just to maintain our facility and keep it looking nice, came by. And she's from the area, so she's very familiar with LifeGate. She's heard about it for all the years, and she says, I've always wanted to come in. I've always wanted to see it. And she says, so I just decided I was going to take time and do it. I knew you guys have been doing a lot. So she did. She came in, and I brought her in here, and I didn't do the guy thing. You know, like I told you last time, that I turned on all the projectors and the sound and the computers and, you know, gave her the guy thing. Well, I didn't do that with her. She's a mom, and moms, I did bring her in here and light this up just so she could see the sanctuary. But she's a mom, and mom are more interested in nice, safe, secure, clean places that their children can go. And so I took her to the children's area and took her through the toddler's room, the big screen, you know, and took her on into the children's area with the lights and all the things that are animated for them. Took her into the nursery, so she saw the nursery, and she continuously was saying things like, you all have done such a good job here. Wow, I love this Noah Ark wall. Wow, you know, this is bigger than I thought. And she kept talking about those things. And what it did for me was, once again, show me the awe of LifeGate. And when people come in here for the very first time, it is. It's a pretty awesome experience. It's a different church experience. But hey, if we were going to do it like everybody else did it, we would just do it with them, right? We would just go there. We wouldn't have LifeGate. LifeGate is unique. LifeGate is special. And also along those lines, maybe you've got somebody that you're talking to. Well, bring them by. I would love it. Call me. Tell me you want to come by. I'll light it all up for you. We'll turn everything on, whatever that you want on, and we'll just let them see it. And you can say to them, you know, and they'll say to you probably first, wow, you guys have really done a great job. And you can say back to them, I love my church. Last time we talked and we discussed, we talked about how Jesus also loved the church and gave himself for it. And what we saw was that it's through the church that God designed to show us and let us experience the love of God, the way he wants us to experience it. It's through the church that we experience the ministries of Christ, that we experience the ministries of the Holy Spirit. It's through the church that God properly loves us and we can love him. And Jesus loves us through his church. And I want to continue on with that particular thought today. The church, as we saw last time, is the hope of the world. And that's a little big. You know, the universal church is difficult to get my head wrapped around. We talked about that some, but the church is the hope of the world. Take the church out of the world and you got chaos. But the local loving church is the hope of the community. The local loving church is the hope for your family. The local loving church is the hope for you. The local loving church is the hope for your children. And for your grandchildren. Remove the local loving church from the community, from you, from your children, from your spouse, from your grandchildren, from your friends, and you've got a devastated life. You've got a life that's collapsing. You've got a life that a lot of bad stuff is going on. And so I want to kind of build on that a little bit today. And when I say, you know, the church, and what I want to talk about today is getting away. What happens to somebody when they kind of do get away from church? And what happens to us when we remove ourselves from the church, or when we feel like we've gotten away from church. Now, what happens then in those times is wrong becomes right, darkness becomes light, we get numb to wrong. It's like an anesthesia. When we get away from church, things that we once thought were wrong and knew were wrong aren't wrong anymore. And so we're kind of getting away. And we know that this is true because it's happened probably to all of us. It's happened to you. When you got away from church, it happened to you. When your spouse got away from church, it happened to them. When your children got away from church, it happened to them. When your friends got away from church, it happened to them. And when I say got away from church, I'm really saying you got away from Christ. And people say, I don't believe that. That's not how I think. Well, I don't care how you think. The Word of God says so. The Word of God says that Christ and the church are one. You can't separate them. I'll show you. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32, it says this. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are what? Are one. You can't separate them. And I want you to say that back to me. Put it back up for me, please. I want you to say that with me, that Christ and the church are one. Would you say that out loud? Christ and the church are one. And so when you get away from church, you're getting away from Christ, whether you think so or not. And this is kind of where I want to go today. You cannot separate Christ and the church. So when we miss church, when we don't get to go to church, we're really separating ourselves from Him and start experiencing some very, very negative things in our life. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. Now, I had a conversation with a lady this week, calling and telling people I missed them, and you know how I do, and stuff like that. And I was talking to this particular person, and she told me, she says, Pastor Delbert, we can tell in our own lives that things aren't going well for us when we miss church. We can tell a difference in our marital relationship, we being her and her husband. We can tell a difference in our marital relationship. We can tell a difference in our children. We can tell a difference in our finances. We can tell a difference in how just things go in our lives. How many of you agree with that? That you can tell a difference and that there really is a literal physical difference that you can actually see when you start missing church. You start seeing things start going kind of haywire in your life. How many? All right, good. We're all on the same page then, and we're heading in the same direction. That's what I want to see. So today, building on that fact that things do drastically change and go bad when we get away from church, thus getting away from Christ, when we do that, I want to take a look at that. I want to look at the biblical aspects, and you'll have to agree with it because it's happened to all of us, of what happens to us, a person, any person, when they actually get away from church. And it should be a realistic, eye-opening experience. It should be a heart-shaking and probably heartbreaking experience to all of us as we look at this honestly and admit honestly that this is what happens to any person when they get out of church. Now before I dive in, I proposed to you last week three kind of questions that I want to keep before us and keep talking about and thinking about through our series here. And the first question was this: why aren't we asking people to come to church? And I'm not saying you're not, but some of us aren't. So why aren't we? I want to keep that before us. Another thing that I proposed last week, and I says, well, when we do ask people, why don't they respond positively? Why don't they come? Today we're going to kind of see some things in that area. And then the third question that I proposed to you was this: why is it that when people do come, lock in? I mean, love it. Best thing since sliced bread. I mean, they love it, man. They love the music. They love the teaching. They love the preaching. They love all the ministries. They just love it. They get transformed. Their lives get changed and then leave. Why? What's up with that? Today, we're going to be looking at that as well. So I'm hoping that today I'll start building sort of a foundation so that we can look at these things. See, I gave you answers, trite answers last week, I told you, to those questions. But what I want to start working on are some solutions, and so that we can really, really, really begin to help ourselves and help others in this area. Now, if I do a good job here communicating this today, it should fire us up and help us have more compassion for people who are away from God. Not just talking about people that have never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but also people who have been in church, been close to God, and got away from them. So that's what I'm after. So Romans chapter 1 gives us a very, very, very good instruction on this. You've heard of the Roman road where you get people saved. Well, before Paul dealt with that, he showed us the Roman road as to what happens to people when they get away from God. Now, so let's start looking at this. And this happens again to every person. So I want you to please pay attention, because this could happen to your spouse. This could happen to your child. This could happen to your best friend. This could happen to your parent. This happens to everyone. Serious. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this. Yes, they knew God, but... Not just talking about people, never got saved. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Have you ever been around people that came up with these goofy ideas about God? And you say, where did you get that? And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was, if you got my email this week, I kind of led it there. You know, the result was. So Paul's about to tell us what happens to people when they get away from God. Here are the results. The result was that their minds, first of all, became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. I want you to say that back to me. Say that back, last part. Claiming to be wise, say that. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. Now, this is what happens to people. It's amazing to me, and I know you've experienced it as well, how that people, when they get away from God, think they're wise, and they sort of look down their noses at us that try to stay close to God. And in fact, they have become utter fools. And it doesn't take long to watch them make some of the silliest, craziest mistakes, make some of the craziest, I want to say stupid, but some of you parents don't like me using that word, that they make some of the wildest decisions. They do some of the craziest, dumbest things. It doesn't take long to do it. And the verse says, yes, they knew God. Yes, they knew God. You can be a preacher. You can be anybody, and you knew God. You once had a close relationship with Him, but something took place and something happened. And it's anyone. I really want to make sure we keep hammering that. It's anyone can go down this frightening Roman road. This frightening Roman 1 road where it leads you into this deranged thoughts, dark thoughts, where wrong becomes right and dark becomes light and a numbness to wrongness sets in and crazy things happen. And you see this person crash after crash after crash. Now, what happened to these people that knew God? Yes, they knew God. What happened to them? What was the thing that stepped in and began pulling them away from God, taking them down this horrible road of Romans chapter 1? Simple word, idols. Now, I know in our society today, we don't think of idols like the Bible, you know, the golden calves and the worshiping a tree or a fish or those kinds of things. We don't associate, but we worship some kind of dumber things. I want to just work on this just a little bit. Let me read it to you in Romans chapter 1, verse 23. It's the next verse. It says, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people or birds or animals and snakes. People do worship some of the craziest things. Now, we don't worship birds, animals, and snakes specifically. but, what are some of the idols that we find ourselves, and I'm going to make some of you mad right now, but if you'll give me just a few minutes, I'll fix it. But what are some of the things that we do worship? It says mere people. What about mere people? What about that forbidden relationship that people find themselves locked into sometimes? Will that take you out of church? Will that take you out of your marriage? Well, that messed your life up. Well, let's look at some others. How about drugs? Is drugs an idol? Can drugs take somebody out of church, out of life? Become addicted or consumed by it. How about money? Money one? And we say, money, we're not going to bow down and give homage to money. But what about staying out of church so we can work? See, I just made some of you mad. What about staying out of church so we can work? Make money. Will it take you out of church? Let's do some more. How about hobbies? How about hunting? Or fishing? Let me make sure I step on my own toes. How about fishing? How about motorcycles or dog shows or whatever? Will hobbies keep people out of church? I'll get you in a minute. If I haven't got you yet, I'm working on you, okay? How about family relationships? Family functions. Set a church to go to a family function. Have I missed anybody? If I have, see, these are the idols that begin to work on us. And they begin to pull us out of church. It starts us heading down this Roman road. Horrible Roman road. And now, though, while most of those things that I mentioned are not bad or sin, they're not. But they have a tendency and they can become an idol. And what is an idol? An idol is anything that separates you from God, that stands in front of you and keeps you from being with God. That's what an idol is. It takes you out. It begins to get your attention. It stands in front of God, between you and God. Now, let me balance. I need some balance on this one. Okay. Now, am I saying that a hobby, hunting, fishing, or family functions, or anything that we find ourselves doing, am I saying because a person doesn't come to church a few times a year or several times a year because they're doing these things, am I saying that that thing has become an idol? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's not my point. Here's my point. Spouse, parent, whomever, friend, when that thing, whatever that it might be, begins to consistently keep that person out of church, you're about to have some big problems. And you're in the boat with Jonah. And if you're married to this person, you're about to go down some rough waters. Or if this person's in your family, a child, you're about to hit some hard spots. No, I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that when something comes in and it consistently begins to take us out of church or away from Christ, we're about to have some bad times in life. I just use an example. How about drugs? Are prescription drugs bad? Are they evil? Thank God for prescription drugs. Right? I mean, but can they become an idol? And if they do, watch out. And everybody that's around is going to feel the roughness of those waters. Now, this is the Word of God. I want you to make sure you hear, not me talking. Don't get upset with me. I'm trying to help somebody. And I want us to see that this is the Word of God. And when you begin to notice, the Bible talks about there's some people that you got to snatch out of hell. You got to snatch them out of the fires of hell. And so when you begin to see a loved one, a spouse, a child, a relative, a friend, then you got to step in. And you got to say, hey, you need to wake up. Here's what's happening to you. Because here's why. If you don't, it gets worse. Next verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. I need you to say that back to me as well. You're just reading the Bible. Okay? Say that back. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. The people have this crazy idea of God. He won't let this happen to me. As a result, here we go again. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So, I knew it was right. So, they worshiped the things God made, but not the Creator Himself, who is to be praised forever. Amen. That is why God abandoned them. Now, don't miss that. I wish I had put those two thoughts together there better for you. See, what they did is they began to worship the idol. And so God abandoned. If that's what you want to worship, and you don't want to worship me, go ahead. So God abandoned them. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. God will allow anyone to just go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. If you want to worship that and not me, then worship it. Anyone, God will let you ruin your life. And, you know, we talk about our own free will. You have it. And sometimes, you know, I wish we did it. Sometimes I wished I did it. Sometimes I wish that God would not let me do some things. I find myself doing. But it's not how it works. And when a person gets away from church, idols take over. That numbness, that anesthesia sets in. Sin sets in. They begin making these foolish decisions. Dark becomes light and wrong becomes right and all of this crazy stuff. They begin to find themselves moving on and down this road, even into sexual immorality, even to homosexuality. And it's not done yet. It's still not. It gets worse. Romans chapter 1:29. Their lives became full, or we could say consumed, of every kind of wickedness. Every kind. Sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backbiters, haters of God. Have you ever seen people mad at God? You know, God didn't do something, so they got mad at God? Started hating God? Haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They are forever, watch this, inventing new ways of sinning. And are parents, now watch this, and they are disobedient to their parents. You got to be careful who your kid runs with. I'm going to show you in just a second, just a little more powerfully, but they're disobedient to their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, and are heartless and unforgiving. They are fully aware of God's death penalty. They know there's a hell. They know they're going to be judged, but watch. They are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead and do them anyway. Go right ahead and do them anyway. And worse yet, here's why you got to watch who your kid runs with, or watch who your wife's out with, or who your husband's running with. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them. Your spouse or your children, they get around the wrong people. And these other people are going down Romans 1. They're going to encourage your child or your spouse to do these things. Now remember, the passage began with, yes, they knew God. I want to point out, just no one is immune to this. No one. This is what happens when you get away from church, thus get away from Christ, thus get away from God. Show you. Romans chapter 2, verse 9. What happens here, let me talk about this just a second. Let me talk just a second, then put it back up. What's happening here? Paul talks about all this stuff. He gives us all this stuff that I read to you. And then he says, now who are you to judge these people? He says, these same things can happen to you. Do you that say, don't steal, steal? And he says, listen, everybody can fall into this. And then he writes this in Romans 2:9. He says this, there will be trouble and calamity for who? Everyone. And watch what he says, who keeps on sinning, for the Jew, the child of God, the chosen ones, you with me, and the Gentile. No, you're a Jew or a Gentile. No one is immune to this, but there will be glory and honor and peace. How many would want some peace and some glory and some honor instead of the other mess? Yeah. If you do it right. He says there'll be glory, honor, peace from God for all. For who? For all who do good, who keep it right. For the Jew first and also for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. I can't tell you. This happens to every single person, and I cannot tell you the times that I've watched this happen. I wished I could. I wished I could number them, but I can't. And in your notes, I'll give you a couple of sad horror stories that I've witnessed over the years, and they're innumerable. There's so many, and I'm going to try to get both of them in. And if I don't, you can read them. But I just want to tell you, this is so true. And the stories that I'm going to relate to you are years ago. So hopefully, you know, you won't even remember them. Years ago, there was this couple that came to church. Beautiful couple. Beautiful family. Their children were very, very disciplined and respective. It was yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. Very well behaved. Beautiful, beautiful couple, beautiful family. They came, and back then we did Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights. And they were here to everything. They came to all the services. They did all the stuff that we did. And they got involved. Began to participate in the ministries. We're here whenever we had something going on. Just loved to minister to people. Well, after a little while, I noticed that they began to get lax on their attendance. Began to slip back. And they weren't around like they were. And then they stopped even functioning in the ministries in which they did enjoy and ministered through. They began not even coming to those things. And you know, and you call and you say, how are you doing? And you always get the same answer. Well, I'm fine. You know, a kid was sick or you know, I had to work. Or, you know, all these idols, you know, kind of coming in there. And you know that's not good. And so, but you do all you can do. And so, one Sunday morning, they're here. And he says, Pastor, can I talk to you privately? Now, I really don't like to do that. And I won't do it now. He kind of broadsided me, though, because normally I wouldn't. If I would have said, normally, let's wait until after the service. But now I don't even think about it. No, after the service, we'll talk. But anyway, we went into my study at that time. Went into my study. And he began to tell me how he and his family were going to leave the church. And that he felt that God had told him to do it and that it was time for them to leave. And he says, I want you to know, he gave me right off the bat, he says, I want you to know we're not upset with you. We're not upset with anyone. We don't have another church that we want to start going to. We just think it's time for us to leave. Well, you know, how do you argue with God told me, you know? And so, and again, it's right before service. I don't want to get into a, you know, a battle here and a confrontation. I've got to go and I'm about to walk out here. And I did. And I came right out of that. I prayed for him. Let me finish the story. I stopped. I prayed for him. I blessed him. I thanked him for all the time he'd been here and all the ministries he had done. And thanked him for his beautiful family being here and just blessed him. And then I came out here to my worship experience after a situation like that, trying to minister to you, trying to praise God, feeling that confusion. And that rejection. And you can't understand it unless you're a preacher. Unless you're a pastor. You don't understand how that hurts. And so I had to minister. And they left. Left the church. Well, shortly thereafter, I mean, it was just a short time. We saw some bad, bad things happening in their lives. Bad things. And I'm not going to get into all of this stuff. Just what I need to say to you is they are now divorced. And they divorced pretty soon afterwards. They're divorced. That beautiful family is dissolved. Now, the part that bothers me most about those situations is I heard that one of the spouses knew that the other spouse was going through some very difficult things and having some marital struggles. And the part that really bothers me in those situations is, okay, I understand you're going through some tough times, but is it not better is it not the wiser thing to do to stay in church closer to Christ than get out of church and further from Christ? Okay, you and your spouse are battling, and one doesn't want to come to church. Well, then one coming is better than none coming. And would it not be better to keep your children here while you guys are working through this horrible situation in your life? At least they can be ministered to. And those are the things. And you know, you can't you make this is not a smart decision here. This is not good. But then you remember what the scripture says there, that claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. Weird decisions. Wrong becomes right. I'm going to tell you the other story whether we have time or not. So if you got to go, you just got to go. But I think it's that important. We were, years ago, we were building this thing. We come in this thing, ripped out carpet and walls and sheetrock. And man, we were laboring night and day here. We were trying to build a church that Jesus could use differently. And a man was in the church then, family. He was here for everything. He hung sheetrock and tiles and, you know, just did everything. Just worked hard. And you know, I loved him. I still do. But he was here. He was a giver. Just worked hard. Here for everything again, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever we were doing. Well, he calls me one day and he says, "Pastor, can I come by? I want to talk to you." I said, "Sure. You can come by anytime. You don't even need to call. Just come on." So he did. He came in. And he started off by saying this. I thought he was just trying to edify me and build me up to start with. He said, "I want to tell you how much you mean to me." He said, "I want to tell you what you and your family mean to us, me and my family. We you all are so good. Pastor, I have learned more from you in 2 years of sitting under your ministry than I've learned in my whole life reading the Bible. You have just revolutionized how I see the Bible." And he says, "And will you tell Miss Judy that I love how she loves my children? My children are doing better than they've ever done. Back then we had a school." He said, "Thank you for the school. Thank you that they're in the school and they're getting this wonderful education. Thank you. And thank you. My marriage is better. My finances are better. Everything is better." And I was feeling pretty good. And then he said, "But God told us it's time to leave." And again, he was quick to say, "We don't have another church. We're not church hopping." He was quick to say, "I'm not mad at you. I love you." He was quick to say, "I love your family. I love. I'm not mad at anyone here. We're not hurt. We just feel God's told us to leave." How do you argue with God told me to leave? And back then I wouldn't have. I didn't know how. I probably wouldn't. I would probably say to you, if you come to me right now in that situation, I'd say, "You're a fool." And that's what I should have said then. Well, they left. They did leave. Now, they are still married, but they have gone through some very, very, very bad marital situations. Very bad. The worst part of that story is what happened to their children. Every one of them has either suffered divorce, addiction to drugs, prison. So my problem with these kinds of things is that it's not just you. It's not just you deciding to leave. You're doing something. What eternal effect did that man have on his children? He didn't just take himself away from Christ and from church and from God. He took his family away. You know, and you're thinking, well, and you want to say, how could that have been God? But again, just reading the scriptures and what the scripture says, it says, however, So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. It goes on to say, there will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on sinning. What I'm trying to relay to you is no one is immune to this. They knew God. They had a relationship. They loved God. When we call people, when I call you on the phone, sometimes I feel that you are just thinking, I need you to be here in your body in that chair. Or I just want you to come so you can give your offering. Folks, hear me. That is not it. It's not that simple. I'm a pastor. I know what happens. I have watched this happen over and over and over and over again. I can't tell you the times. However, I can tell you the numbers of times that I've seen somebody leave church and they not go down that road. Let me tell you. None. I have never one time seen anybody get out of church where they didn't go down Romans 1. We've done it. Each one of us have done it, at least to a degree. We got smart. We turned back, hopefully. So let me bring some balance. Does that mean that if I stay in church that no tough things are going to happen to me? Does that mean that people that are here every time the door is open never have bad situations? Does that mean, Pastor, that nothing ever tough happens to you? You're here every day. No, that's not what I mean. Okay, then what's the difference? What's the difference then? If bad things are going to happen to you and bad things are going to happen to them, then what's the difference? Big difference. You see, if you love God and you do your very best to do what God's called you and purpose for your life to do, whatever bad thing that you work through, you're going to come out good. You're going to come out on top. I don't care what it is. If you love God and you try to do what God's called you to do to the best of your ability, you're going to come out on top of everything. I'll show it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know, this is something we should know, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For those who stay faithful to the purpose, stay faithful to Christ, stay faithful to church, stay faithful to God, God will take it and make it right. It's not that way for those going down Romans 1. It's just not that way. Until they turn to Jesus, it gets worse and worse and worse. And you see crash after crash after crash. So why did I talk about this today? Two reasons, basically. Let me try to give them to you quickly. First reason is I want to scare the hell out of you. Did I say that? Yes, I did. I literally do. You see, I want you to know what's going to happen to you. And I'm not trying to lock you in here. If you find a better one, and I hate saying this, but if you find a better one, then go. It's okay. But stay in church. Stay with Christ. I don't think you can. But see, you can say, I love my church. I can say, I love my church. And when I really mean that, and I love my church, and I'm here, and I'm doing what my church, with my church, in my church, functioning as a part of my church, when I'm doing that, it prevents Romans 1. It stops Romans 1 from happening in my life. That's the first reason. Second reason is this. There's a world out there who cannot say, I love my church, because they don't have a church to love. There's a world out there, friends you know, loved ones you have, relationships, who can't say, I love my church. And they're living, their address is Romans chapter 1. They're right now living in the hell of Romans chapter 1 because they can't say, I love my church. We're all aware of the eternal hell. We all know that Jesus taught And the Bible speaks of a place after we go, after we die, if we do not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, where it's eternal hell, fires, brimstone. We hear about that. We hear about where the worm dieth not and where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We know. We're aware of that. But are we aware that there's a place, a living hell that people are living in right now? Some of you are living in that hell right now because you know you're not where you need to be with God. There's a world out there. They're experiencing that same thing while they're breathing air. The fire of life consumes them. Turmoil all the time. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth all the time. Nothing's going right. Everything's crazy in their life. Finances are crazy and life is crazy and marriage is crazy and work is crazy and everything's crazy. And it's a worm that dieth not. It just doesn't end. It's because they cannot say, I love my church, because they don't have a church to love. Can't we do something about that? Can't we find some leverage, some bar that we can use to lever to somehow get them to a church that they can love? Can't we somehow bring them to a baptismal service or a play? Are a teaching, a study that they really need to hear? Can't we find some leverage? You see, the Bible talks about there's some that you've got to snatch out of hell. Isn't there some way, a Christmas program or a child's production or a signing thing, something that we can use and invite people to come and then trust God to do the rest? Let's pray. Father, thank you that I have a church I can love. And I can say I love my church. But Father, I become so content and so conceited and so self-righteous with that thought that I forget about those out there that don't and that can't and don't even think they want to. Help me. Help them. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you would say along with me, Delbert, you're right. I meet those people every day of my life. And sometimes I don't even invite them to church. And when I do invite them to church, they don't come. If you along with me would say, Father, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Give me a compassion. Give me the leverage. Give me the tool, the instrument that I can use to help these people come. If you along with me would say that, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you right now? Amen. Father, we see hands everywhere. Lord, help us. Lord, we do. We see these people every day. And it's like we just don't care. Lord, help us care. Quicken to us. I want to invite you to church. I love my church. Quicken to us, Lord, to find some leverage, some way, some tool, some word that I can get them to come and try and find a church that they love, and then I can trust you to do the rest. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, some of you are living on Romans 1. It is a mess. You have gotten away from church. You know you're not where you need to be with Christ or with God. And it is bad. And it's getting worse. And until you make the turn and get where you need to be with Him, it's going to keep getting worse. I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. If that's you and you really want to make the turn and you really want to get back on track with Christ, if that's you today, would you raise your hand and allow me to pray for you right where you're sitting? See your hands right here, two. Any others? Any others? Three, four,